Thank you. Thank you. I understand you've been blowing out light bulbs today. Very good. Getting that good, I'll have to have a few projects for you. I have a few policemen's hats to knock off, and I think if we kept putting the lights out at some of the atomic energy plants, it might be very discouraging to them. Well, I understand that you're all doing real good. Two or three who aren't. But could be worse. Could be worse. You could be alive. Sneer. All right. We're going to the lecture today. And this is clearing by communication processes leveled at special problems. I already talked about using communication processes as an assist, but there are a great many ways that it can be used. Very great many ways. A person who is terribly mired down in a bank, terribly mired down, can't get pictures different than other pictures, and yet is not in a position where all the pictures one gets are dub in. You know, that'd be lower down, you know, pictures totally free, totally solid, totally not what happened. You know, that low level of substitution by pictures. Not that one. But just a person who's bogged down, pretty black, pretty sticky, invisible. Standard Dianetic case. Now, these people can be handled best and most functionally with giving him a whiff of grape. I mean a responsibility process. Responsibility. Very simple process. Doesn't take very much running. Isn't very worrisome for the auditor to run. Runs rather easily. Auditor goes into total irresponsibility. PC goes into total responsibility. PC never notices because PC also starts to take responsibility for auditor, you know. A responsibility process with an auditing command of recall something you have been responsible for. That's a fairly simplified type of command. Followed by recall something you have confronted. That one has liabilities. That one has liabilities. Because it gets the track in considerable motion. Very considerable motion. You start seeing things moving around. Why? Well, in the first place, you'd have to use some responsibility on the thing or it wouldn't fly around easily, ordinarily, with most cases, because they are stuck because of an irresponsibility. You see, they're saying, well, I can't take responsibility for that. Headsman's got the axe raised, or the PC was the headsman and is raising the axe, and
I can't take responsibility for that. See, just stop
right there. Of course, the thing persists totally, because one can't as is any part of it, because one mocked it up as fast as it happened, then kept it there. See, just a total back off. Well, that is a type of stuck. Well, now, you get rid of some of those stucks, and you sure better had, and you better appreciate it as a withdrawal sort of a stuck. And to improve it, you decrease the withdrawal by getting them to take some responsibility. Now, therefore, it makes it a communication process. Isn't that nice? It's not what could you go out of communication with, it's what could you go into communication with, you see? The person is going out of communication by...
I can't take any responsibility for that. It's over there. Withdraw, 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 withdraw. You get the idea.
Now, the second you're getting to take and recall things he has been responsible for, he instantly starts thinking, well, I could go into a little more communication with that thing. So it's a plus process. Therefore, it increases havingness, believe it or not. Now, what's the next stage? See, that dusts him off on the withhold. Now, what's the next stage there? The next stage is confront. Recall something you've confronted. Well, the odd part of it is after they start taking responsibility for something, they obsessively confront things. You know, from...
I can't take responsibility for that.
They go,
I've got to confront it. I've got to confront it. I can show them. I can show them I can stand here and confront it.
And the eons go on, and he is still saying, I proved it. I am still confronting it. Actually, if you were to walk up to somebody, a stranger on the street, slap him on the shoulder and say, okay, boy, you've confronted it. Thank you very much. He'd move on the track. Just pick a person at random. You'd hit one of these somewhere on the track. Now, this confront is, of course, a fast way to free attention unit. So it's a having this process, too. A person who is fixedly confronting something, who is very, very fixed on the idea of confronting something, has his havingness cut way down. Have you noticed that? As soon as you start to span his attention out a little bit, widen his sphere, he has more. So you again don't get a reduced havingness. Very important. All right, now you can go back into responsibility again. You're running the withdraw, right? And then you could go back to confront. Do you see this? You could play these two things against each other, and you're sort of doing a bank, withhold, and act forward, you see? Back off, move forward, see? Confront, face. Irresponsible, don't face, see? And you're getting a withdrawal, you might say, forward action process. In a very heavy, low mass level. All right, now just upstairs from that thing, communication outward all by itself resolves both. But we get down to the basic fix. Now the basic fix is basically, of course, an idea. But location is an idea too. So you might say the basic fixed idea is a basic fixed idea of location. Got that. That is the most obsessive fix there is in a bank. Fixed location. Now, in a bank, of course, it is the fixed idea of location because a person is no longer there, but he supposes himself to be there. And actually, we come back to the pre-logics of 1954. And that's what we're working on the second we start to work on a pure communication process of from where could you communicate to blank? See, that's the most fixed, troublesome idea that a Thetan could get when he combines fixedness with location. And this is what you call a stuck, or a stuck place on the track. Now listen, an individual who still thinks he's in an automobile accident is going to start demonstrating some of the disabilities of the accident, isn't he? Now, why does he still do this? Only one reason. It's not the significances of the action at all. The most basic one of the whole incident is the fixedness of location. He still thinks he's in an accident. Right? Still thinks he's in an accident. If he has a facsimile of an accident, it is obvious that he still thinks he's in an accident, right? if he's demonstrating any psychosomatic or any engram reaction of any kind, the first thing that is wrong with him is a fixedness of location, error concerning. This fellow, the old-timer who talks about his boyhood and goes on and on and on about when he was at sea and he was a boy and so on and so on, he's actually just running the stuck spots, isn't he? The funny part of it is, you show a Thetan there's no place to go, he'll pick up stuck spots. If you prove to a man conclusively there was no place to go, let's say you started working him over this way. Well, it certainly takes a lot of money to travel, doesn't it? It's a very funny thing. You look at the boat fares and that sort of thing. And these days, everything's all civilized. You can't walk down a road. You can't walk down a road and sleep under a haystack. Nobody'd allow it. The bobbies would pick you up for vagrancy. Furthermore, you couldn't walk very far because there's so many fast vehicles on the highway that they'd probably knock you off, you know. Actually, there's no employment in any other of the towns around here, and you couldn't even get that far out, you know. It's best to stay with one's job, and so on. But actually, the society is a sort of a trap, isn't it? It's an economic trap. You would not be able to make enough money to go... I'm getting to some of you right now. Wasn't I? All right, now let's look it over. What are you doing? You're showing him there's no place to hide or go. Way low on the scale, it's no place to hide. Upper on the scale, it's there's no place to go. You realize there's no other place in this whole world at this instant except this room. And the funny part of it is they take down all of the scenery the second you're in here. Realize that? The buses all stop running, the trains stop running, the airplanes, they just keep them there. The people don't move, nothing happens. Nothing happens anyway. They take the whole thing down. Actually, there are very few buildings you've looked in the back of. That's a fact. You know, you walk down lots of front streets, but you've not walked, actually, around and behind any, many of those fronts. And, you know, if you were to move real quick and walk around back of those buildings real fast, you'll find there wasn't anything there at all because you wouldn't have given them enough warning to build the structure. But if you walked back there in a leisurely fashion... Naturally, why, they'd have time to build it, you see. If you just convinced everybody there was no place but where he was, and actually he really couldn't go any other place, or if he did, it would be a total fake, you'd just start keying in these stuck spots. Stuck, 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 you see. That'd be it. Cut down his havingness, don't you? One right after the other. He doesn't have any other location than where he is. If he is convinced of this utterly, he can be trapped. And trapping somebody is quite a trick. It's quite a trick. How in the name of common sense can you get something that can sail out of anything to stay in anything? Well, it's tricks like the ones I'm just showing you right now. Convincing a person this way or that way. Now, after a Thetan has agreed that he can be hurt or can be affected by impacts, you can hit him over the head or something like that, and he will still have the sensation that he is in the place where he has been hit over the head because of the impact. He gets this by resisting the impact and pulling back from the impact almost the same time. He gets an outflow and an inflow almost at once, simultaneously, which tends to give him a physical sensation of being fixed in the place. After a while, he has headaches or he has something of the sort. Actually, he's simply fixed someplace in space, right? So that's the most basic consideration. There has to be, however, another consideration before this thing gets into the loony bin. That is the consideration of time. A person must have had a considerable idea of continuousness to be hit on the head and still be found on that spot of the track. He must have had an idea of the continuance of that spot. Well, let's go back to responsibility and look at responsibility. The individual who is obsessively saying, I am not responsible, continues to do so, doesn't he? The individual says, I must confront, continues to do so, doesn't he? The individual who is withdrawing and who is advancing at the same time as he would be in a moment of impact, hit on the head, tends to continue to be in that spot. Right? By the way, if anybody has loosened up their neck screws and their heads are liable to come off at this moment, why, tighten them up again before I go on with the lecture, because I'm not kidding you now. I don't ever kid you. This one is, don't go home and try this on. You hear me? Get it in an auditing session. Look it over, but don't run it, you understand? Until it's run on you. You run continuousness in conjunction with communicationness. And those two factors combined in the auditing command, from where could you communicate to blank? You see, now that starts to restore his choice of spots. That's pretty rough, just as it is. It's a fairly hot process. It gives something to go oomph into. To something, you see. From to. All right, now we add continue. From where could you continue to communicate to blank? Now, that picks up all of these 18,000 years stuck in a theta trap. See? That's a continuance mechanism. Now, we're getting up into fairly high-level theta-clearing processes when we get these two factors combined, because either one of them singly would be quite interesting. Oddly enough, continuance all run all by itself and disassociated from communication becomes a havingness strip-down. It's not good all by itself. You can only get away with it running it as, according to my researches up to this time, by running it in conjunction with a havingness improvement process such as communicate. In other words, you can run continue with communicate with spot, you see. From where could you continue to communicate to grandma, you see? Sample auditing command. But if you were to say to somebody, get the idea of continuing. Thank you. Get the idea of continuing. Thank you. I'm afraid this wouldn't quite come off too well. Now, let's go a little bit further into this subject of continue, shall we? Do you know that many languages are devoid of an adequate word to express survival? The peoples that speak these languages have evidently never embraced the idea of continuance. Now, that's quite a remarkable remark. It does give us an index of their capabilities of advance, however. They are below being able to survive. And most of these races, in their native habitat, according to my own personal observation, all have the trick of being able simply to collapse where they are and kick the bucket, while apparently having considerable survival characteristics. Their survival characteristics are on automatic, but they can lie down and die. When I was prowling around not being stuck in one place, I haven't been for quite a while. I think the worst stuckness I ever got into was doing a perihelion around Venus once for 87 years. It's quite boring. When I was a kid, I was up on Coal Hill in Peking, otherwise known as Pekin, Piping, Mao Land, Red Star Land, other things. But it had been conquered many times before, and there was a place there called Coal Hill where they buried people. And they'd dig a hole out of the hill and dump the corpse in and close the mouth of the hole. And this was a marriage of man and earth, you know, a considerable sudden clash. This was much smarter than they did around Tintin. Down around Tintin, they leave the coffins above the ground in the most arable areas of the plain and let the dogs and pigs eat the corpses and so on. It's a great improvement on sanitation, but not on domestic animal husbandry. Well, I was walking through the paths of this particular cemetery one dusty winter afternoon, and saw a fellow sitting in front of a grave, just staring into this hole in the earth. There he sat, you know. He didn't seem to be very much in communication. I didn't tap him on the shoulder or attract his attention. But a friend of mine, a Chinese friend, who was, by the way, the last of the great magicians of the Empress Dowager that had come in with Kublai Khan. This old fellow said to me, he said, well, he says, there's another one, you know. There's another one. Another what? And he says, well, he's just waiting. And I said, waiting for what? Well, he's waiting to die. He's waiting to die. Is he sick? No, he's not sick. He just decided to die. So I said, well, what's this all about? Well, he gives the gatekeeper a few coppers to push him in when he's dead and close the hole. He's bought his grave and so on. He decided to die and gave the gatekeeper a few coppers. I looked at this fellow. To a Western mind, and a particularly young Western mind, full of vigor and beans, you never quite saw as much of a paradox. How could this be? So I made it my business the following day to go up to Coal Hill and look, and the fellow was not there anymore, and the grave was closed. I looked this over from several angles. I was quite interested. Evidently, they could simply decide to die. Yet, this particular race has a considerable name for continuance in the ability to survive. Well, years went by, and I finally taped it one way or the other. Apparently, their survival is practically automatic. But when they get the idea of dying, they just go out like that. They don't postulate themselves to death. They're running so close to it. All they have to do is stop working very hard to live, and they die. And if life stops them, they don't think there's any more hope. They just quit. There they are. And they aren't saying, I have the will to kill myself, you see, and therefore I'm going to kill myself. They don't have that power. What they also don't have is the power to keep going against adversity, which is leveled at them personally. Their survival is on automatic, in other words, total automatic. They don't make any decisions with regard to it whatsoever. It's quite an interesting view. There are several races that do this. And those races, when they start to describe survival or continuance, are left without language. There's not adequate language. I don't know how you'd describe it to a Hopi Indian. I don't know what auditing command you would have to dream up if you were going to audit a Hopi. There is no word. Also, a Hopi's time moves in space. Now, I'm not going to take time to explain to you exactly how his language does this, but it's the most bewildering thing in the world, and it's only after a few minutes of hard concentration that I can get it through my own skull temporarily, you see? What it is a totally psychotic idea that time doesn't move, but space does. And a jackrabbit was never killed yesterday. You see, he didn't kill a jackrabbit yesterday. That isn't the way he says it, you see. He says it in such a way is that the space where the jackrabbit is has moved elsewhere. He has no word for continuance that I know of. Of course, I'm no language expert in that part of the world. Pretty good with a Winchester down there, but not good with words. He'll get civilized someday and they can talk. Now, where the whole of language limits itself, you have actually an observation possible. you can see that the race has fallen below being able to touch such a process as the one I have just enumerated. Russian, oddly enough, gives us some difficulty in this language phrasing, too. Just how you would say this directly in Russian, I do not at the moment know. I don't happen to speak Russian at the moment. Just exactly how you'd phrase it would have to be some roundabout thing. It would be, from where could you communicate tomorrow, the next day, to Wednesday, Thursday, August, you know? It'd have to be something in there to imply a progress of time. But I'll tell you that if a race doesn't have a language for it, you can't run it. They're below it. So don't go trying to crack up your skull, trying to translate something to somebody who couldn't run it anyhow. The truth of the matter is that the whole kit and caboodle of them are totally stuck somewhere down along the line of responsible or confront. This they could get, and they could get some vestige of simple, plain location or communication. And there it would fog out. So that gives us some idea of where the process belongs. Doesn't belong on a low-scale precy. You can wrap him up like a pretzel fast with this process. First place, he doesn't understand it. He's trying to grasp the idea of... He doesn't have the idea of location. All he has the idea of some obsessive responsibility, which he can't even phrase. That's possibly about the lowest thing on the track as a matter of a thought. It's an obsessive I have or I must cause. Responsibility is interpreted this way for our usages. We don't care how the PC interprets it. We're not going to interpret it for him. But just to get a clarification of language here, responsibility means a low-scale definition of it that is still a very clear one, is admitting that one has caused or that one could or will cause. That's the package of that definition is the word responsibility. You might say he's willing to admit that he has caused, but you get into obsessive responsibility, very obsessive and so forth. All he has is the total sensation of I have or I must cause. It's very interesting to look into the skull of a rabbit or a coyote or a cheetah or some animal. They're all kind of on different tone scales. And they do different things. Animals are very fascinating in their, quote, thinkingness, unquote. And you look into a rabbit skull, let's say, and what do you find? You find responsible for getting away, and you find a responsible for multiplying. And you get some vague responsibility for eating, and you get no responsibility whatsoever for being food. And you for sure get no responsibility for self. Hence, rabbits are not clever, and they do very silly things. See, you've circumscribed the limit of their thinkingness. And the limit of their thinkingness is just those things. Responsibility for an elsewhereness, responsibility for procreation, a tiny responsibility for eating, and you've got it. Now, there's some machinery that hinged around on this, which is quite interesting. There's dancing machinery in a rabbit's head, for instance. And you give him the right symbol, and he gets a responsibility, I must dance. And he does. And he does. I see by your faces that you don't inhabit fairy rings very often in the bright moonlight. But I invite you to go down and take a peek sometime. You'll see some rabbits dancing. The moon's just the right color. Dogs. Dogs have a responsibility for howling in the right places, a responsibility for barking in the right places. Actually, a dog is quite capable of a number of responsibilities. He's very easy to train. up, but you couldn't train him at all unless he had some native idea of the responsibility there in the first place. All an educator can do is to key in an existing responsibility, which is very interesting. It's very funny, but I see these people in kindergarten telling a little kitty how to finger paint, you know, and teaching them A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and teaching them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, maybe the kid has to read and write, but he certainly doesn't learn very fast. Slow look in our Western culture at this time, very slow look, the rapidity with which children learn. For instance, we learned techniques in World War II on teaching people, as far as recognition of symbols are concerned, that they have yet to employ. And it's very rapid, and I don't think it'd take a little kid more than 2-3 months to learn the whole ready works with a proper flash system, proper drill. They monkey with this. That's because they're not tapping a child's responsibility. And when you say a child has been badly educated, when you say he's been very badly educated, it just adds up to this. He has been made into a parrot without any regard for participation in existence. And you get some kid that's got nothing but straight A's right across the boards who isn't worth anything. Way to tackle a kid is to take his most obvious responsibility points and blow him up to size and show him where he could go with him. And you would have not little kiddies going around the room drooling in their bibs and crying and being upset and pushing Johnny and so forth and so on, what's regarded as perfect behavior in this culture. You wouldn't have that at all. You'd have a very fixed attention because you're leading in on an existing responsibility. And if you showed them how to do some action because of that responsibility, you would put them at cause, willing and knowing cause over it, and you would improve the case and the education at the same time. It's a very funny thing. If you just pick out some of these things and just enlarge them, put the child at cause over these things and show him what the hot dope was, to be colloquial, you'd have it. I'll give you an example. You're going too far upscale too fast, maybe, to teach a child how to handle his father. But a child does have some responsibility for his father. Quite remarkable. And it's only when that responsibility is totally dismayed, crushed, thrown aside, and discarded that the child starts to go to pieces as a social unit. A child has responsibility for his mother, for his brothers and sisters. And he's perfectly willing to exercise it if anybody would show him where, what, and how. And those are the things a child would learn in the family sphere. A human child is quite receptive to education. It's too bad nobody ever educates them. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 1, 2, 3, 4. Explain to him all about 1, 2, 3, 4. But I'll show you this little trick, quite interesting trick. You actually have to explain to a child that he'll get shortchanged before he ever wants to learn very much about money. You notice that? Well, what have you done inadvertently? Nobody's ever expressed this. You haven't done it directly, but you have told him that he could get more. Well, he has a responsibility, some vague responsibility for the money he has in his hand as soon as he learns that it can buy things. Now he gets responsible for the purchase or use of things via money. And the second that he gets into that line, you can teach him counting and accounting systems. But most accountants I've talked to lately had never been taught that. They were irresponsible. They were irresponsible about money, and they were dealing with figures. They were responsible for figures, but not for money. Get the idea? And therefore, they occasionally make mistakes. Scientologists in accounting, of course, are exempt from this criticism. And I mean that sincerely, because the accountants that we get a hold of, dragged in from the outside and so on, are pretty wild characters. They're pretty wild. Pretty interesting things that happen. But if you find a basic responsibility, or you can key in to some degree a basic responsibility, you can add education to it. And the responsibilities of the race and position, time, period of the child, or the dog, or anything else, or the dictator, you can carry forward in education, providing you can find that. And you have great attention the moment you do that, and you have no attention before you do that. Now, a person who is obsessively out of session will, of course, get into session the moment you start to key in responsibility. And when the PC is sitting in front of you, being totally irresponsible, and is expecting you at any moment to accuse him of the very things he has done, and is therefore fully prepared to be irresponsible in response to any question asked by you, that is the mood in which most PCs get audited, by the way. There's some shadow of this little mood down there. They're willing to say they didn't do it. And that's about the first response they're willing to answer up with. If you don't believe it sometime, just say offhandedly, well, I see you threw another tram off the street yesterday or something like this. And the PC will answer up instantly, I didn't do that and so forth and so on. You actually have turned off machinery. But very, very remarkable. They don't laugh ordinarily when they first come into auditing and so on. They don't laugh. They protest. You say, well, I see you gave the sun 4 extra spins yesterday. Very often you get the response, no, I didn't do that. It gives you an idea that they must have a very, very conceited idea of their own power before they even get processed. But you can accuse them of some of the most outrageous things, and they will sit there and they'll be very sober. One of the ways of freeing up responsibility as a process is start accusing a person of foolish and fantastic things until they can at last laugh at it. You make it worse than it ever possibly could be and accuse them of responsibility with regard to it. And, wow, after a while they can't take it anymore and they start fumbling out of this morass that they ordinarily live in, and they will say, well, you're just joking, aren't you? Yeah, well, anybody could have noticed it but them for the last half hour. Now, if education can begin there, then certainly auditing can begin there. It isn't enough to say the auditor isn't a good auditor who doesn't put the PC at cause. That isn't enough to say that because it's one of these meaningless criticisms. How do you put a PC at cause when you're auditing him at effect? Well, you can let him answer and you can let him do this, but I assure you, if you lose control of him and let him start being at cause over smoking cigarettes and walking to the window and leaving the session and so forth, you won't get any auditing done at all. So you see, it's a misnomer to say put the PC at cause if you just do that. You can do it merely by making sure that your auditing procedure is excellent, very smooth, and that the PC does get a chance to answer up and do the auditing command. That's about as much cause as you can get. Now, if you want to start throwing salvos into this PC's case, you can run him in the direct direction of responsibility. And of course, instead of educating a bit of responsibility he has, you just pick him up by the scruff of the neck. You see, you're not relying on a mechanism now. And you just slam him into and through all of the reasons why he won't be responsible right there in the chair. And the way you do this is just ask him to recall something he's been responsible for. It's as easy as that. Very often it starts off as a total automatic, and it's sometimes 2-3 hours will rapidly go by while he tries to really grope for one satisfactory answer to that question. You're hitting at his obsessive, fixed positions, ideas, everything with a tremendous significance of being willing to admit that he'd caused it. Now, if you said, think of something you have been responsible for, think of something you've been responsible for, then he wouldn't even have to own up to it to you, and you're running a slightly lower level process, which is quite an admissible process. Confrontingness, now that's an outright blunt facing up to. But most people's early ideas of confrontingness or facing something and so forth are quite laughable. And you as an auditor owe it to yourself once in a while to inspect a PC early in a run and find out what confront really does mean. You'll get some of the wildest definitions. It's perfectly all right with you. Buy them, because the definition will shift. See, one person told me that confront was to make believe you weren't looking at it. That's pretty far out, isn't it? Not only a reversed definition, but a dub. And the person seemed to find nothing wrong with this definition. Right there, so we ran it that way, and after a while the person did something about it. Now, if you run over it with whole straight wire, you're, of course, getting action out, action in. I repeat this, you see. And if you are running responsible confront, you're running action in, action out. You're varying these two things. So that tells you there's no limit on the number of times you could run responsible and the number of times you could run confront. No exact limit. You could say, well, the case flattened out and didn't bite anymore. Well, that's fine. You could run responsible, and then you could run confront, and then you could run responsible again. Usually that sort of finishes it up. But you could go on and run confront again, and run responsible again, and run confront again, and responsible again, and you'd find the thing is picking up the whole way. Track opening up and other things occurring. And for sure, the PC wouldn't be out of session. That's fairly certain. The PC wouldn't be out of session. Well, now, your next stage might have something to do with communicate. And now you're starting to use location. Continuous occupation of a location is not yet within his grasp, but you can use location and reach out as communication. But you give him a backstop, such as to-something. This is a good time to handle his chronic somatics, to handle his obvious difficulties. And if you did this very smartly, you would do an assessment of the case at this point. Of course, he got assessed in HAS co-audit and so forth, and they ran various things, and it was all very interesting, and he got a lot of gains, and he thought this was wee and terrific and so forth. We had no argument with that. But if we ran him in individual auditing as a professional, and we ran him responsible, confront, responsible, and then before we went into a communication process, did a nice assessment, a nice tidy one. Find out what part of that body is troubling him and what part of his immediate lifetime is troubling him and what objects are around are upsetting him, and get those things really taped, just nicely and smoothly lined up, and get them all written down, and then let him have it with from where could you communicate to the first object you decided to run. And flatten that, just as that repetitive process, and then go next to the next object that you decided to flatten off on him, and from where could you communicate to? Now, if you were using that class of object, you would have him all over the track in an awful hurry. In other words, instead of from where could you communicate to Agnes, which he ran it overt with whole straight wire, specific person, you ran from where could you communicate to a woman. He would come out to the other end of this knowing he had been someplace. And where you saw definitely that he had a lame shoulder, if you said that shoulder or did overt with hold on that particular shoulder, you would do the communication process this way. From where could you communicate to a shoulder? And that takes in all the classes of shoulders there are. Now, if you finally finished this thing off, dusted it off lightly, some such auditing command as from where could you... You've handled all the people and the PT problems and the body parts and everything else. You now dust this thing off with from where could you communicate to a body? You've stuck the first crowbar into the crevice on Theta Clear. Now, about that time, you'll think this case is pretty well wound up and washed up. You'd be in beautiful condition. Everything's going along fine. But we have not yet begun to fight, because we have another one to throw at him now. We can reassess the case, find out anything now that is outstanding about the case, and this time tackle it with, from where could you continue to communicate to a generalized terminal? Let's say after we reassessed, we still found that there were drops on the case one way or the other, and we could get rather large drops on churches, a church or a specific church, something like that. Well, we wouldn't go back and clear church up now on the simple from where could you communicate to a church, you see. We finished him off. We brought him up to a body. All right, good. Now let's really knock this thing into a cocked hat. He knows he can handle anything by this time. He's all set, see, cocky. Walks down the street and sneers. Enemies of his are writing him letters, and by this time, and they're glad he's doing fine, and he's getting propitiation from the greengrocers, and the local cop on the beat is tipping his hat, and he's doing fine. He couldn't be any better than this, and he's all set, and you think, well, he's out of his head, too. He can yo-yo in and out occasionally, you know, doodle around. You spring this one on him, from where could he continue to communicate with a church? He'll practically knock his silly head up all over again. He didn't think anything could bite, but now he's got this one biting. But if you get stupid and you run from where could you communicate for 2 hours on a case and then decide that you'd better hop it up and run from where could you continue to communicate to same object, you're going to get this case in a mishmash that you might not get him out of. You understand? We're now handling processes which so far overwhelm the human psyche. I wonder what a human psyche is. That you can overreach the guy. And now we're into that type of process. This is a process that compares with the... Well, it doesn't compare with the H-bomb. We left that behind on Woolworth's counter a long time ago. But this is a rough one. And if you go and mishmash these things and start to run from where could you communicate to Agnes and then shift it off and from where could you continue to communicate to Agnes? Well, you might get away with it. Auditing, after all, is what you get away with. But on all research experiments thus far, all we have done is mishmash the whole ready works. The person doesn't know whether they're auditing or flying to the moon on a washboard or putting flowers on Stalin's grave. They haven't got a clue. Because they try to run the one, it isn't flat, and the other one isn't flat, and you spoil their ability to articulate, and all the communications start to run together, and they just go, whoa, whoa. The best thing to do about it is go back and flatten the process you didn't flatten in the first place. If you ever pick anybody up this has happened to, they just go back and flatten the communicate process. And he said, yeah, but I was getting along so well in this other process. Of course, his eyes are 3 feet in diameter by this time, you see, and he's up the pole around the bend. So, we'll just flatten that one off first. You get that one out of the road and follow the regimen which I just gave you, which is to do communicate only, you know, from where could you communicate to all the terminals that were assessed, and then get him into a brand new assessment. Do a body last, you see, and get him into a brand new assessment here. And then use from where could you continue to communicate to whatever terminals you've now picked up. That's very safe. You've done a good job of that. That won't overwhelm anybody. That'll leave him sailing. But don't think that somewhere along the line somebody isn't going to fog up and get overwhelmed on either of these. Because it's true. Just from where could you communicate to a woman, run on somebody that has any trouble with it? And I have heard that men have had trouble with women. And from where could you communicate to a man, run on a woman? There's just about as much as most cases could possibly handle in a session. It's quite interesting that it just starts stripping track and so forth. 3-4 hour of total row and confusion and row. What was? So See, it's a lot. And when you first get in to communicate on some cases, you say, well, we at least got him to a point where he'd stay awake in the audit and say he doesn't get confused, and he actually walks through the actual door when he leaves. He doesn't try to make a hole in the wall like he used to. And you say, we got it made, and then we get him off this body. We've got him yo-yoing around, and he's had a look at things, and he's, oh, you know, it's all good. And now we run him off onto this continue to communicate, and we find this whole cycle turns all over again. It's just an upgrade. Why? You've combined time and space location. Confront, responsible, and every other ready thing all in one small package. There it is. All right. Let's say you finished a case all the way up, all the way on this, and you had him clean up the top and so forth. You might amuse yourself by trying to run some engrams on the case. All over again. Make him run a bank. Just to give him exercise in knocking a bank out and putting it back again. It's something like giving little kiddies toys back. If you've erased all of his beautiful executions, and if you've ruined all of the wars, and so forth, why, he won't thank you in the end. You've got to straighten him out so he can have him or not have him at will. And having done that, you, of course, will eventually reach the rock, and you'll run the rock rather rapidly. Now, the funny part of it is that this stuff, once you've done all these other things, tends to go so rapidly that it doesn't occupy a great deal of grind time, as far as you're concerned. But the way you run an engram with this particular process is to find the incident necessary to resolve the case, standard, check off the personnel of the incident, everybody that's there, and then get them to tell you the person they forgot to tell you about. That'll be the first one you run. That, by the way, is the person against whom the greatest overt is accumulated and is indicated, according to the findings of your ACC instructors, who did a very brilliant piece of work in this, by the way, is indicated by the rising needle. We know now what a rising needle is very precisely. A rising needle is the confrontingness reaction of the person against whom the overt we are looking for occurred. So a rising or soaring needle means, here's our overt act, boys. We have Jane and Agnes and Pete. We're checking them through, and it drops on Agnes, and it drops on Jane, and every time we say Pete, we start to get a rise. It's Pete that's the overt act. The PC has an overt act against Pete. Very well worth knowing. Very, very brilliant piece of work. We've been working with that gimmick for a long while. Rising needle we knew was an ARC break, but we finally can articulate it so that we can use it, which is that a rising needle is the overt act. Now, you just assess the engram, you might say. Get the personnel, take the one who has the heaviest rise, and run from where could you communicate to a generalized form of that particular person. Dust this one off. Lightly, take the other personnel of the engram just in case, and find the next engram necessary to resolve the case. You'll find out this very much easier to do, by the way. And you take that engram, assess its personnel, take the one against whom there is any needle rise whatsoever, and do the whole show all over again. From where could you communicate to A, whatever the person, type, kind, profession was in the engram, and object or animal in the engram, just anything the person can find. You will now be edified to discover that there was a piece missing in the first engram. Don't feel disappointed in that. It wasn't that you missed anything. You got the one that he could confront the overt act on slightly, but there was another one present that he wasn't about to confront, and you couldn't have found it in the first instance at all. You'll find the chain that you're working on is normally adhesed or associated by the appearance of this particular person who will show up only after you've run two or three engrams. Well, you can run the whole bank in this fashion, just the engram necessary to solve a case. Take its personnel, take the heaviest overt off the thing, run that first, and then dust off the other personnel lightly with the same auditing command. Go right on down the line. You'll find yourself in the rock area. Use it as an object. Use any personnel involved with it as this communication process. And you'll find out that as you have done this, the individual's ability to create has risen considerably. You will have to do some creation drills, but only after the rock is totally flat, because the bank will beef up too badly. If the PC is still around, why, you can run him through Route 1. Because it's about the only other thing to be around on such a case. Now, you have made Theta clear, really, the short way, and I've given you a very rapid method of running Theta clears and so forth, and as usual, during an ACC, fancier, better, faster methods have been evolved, based more or less on case observation. That tingle in your ear was me 3 feet back of your head looking to how you reacted. Anyhow, the point I'm making is we have a faster method here in the 6th London of doing Theta clearing, and you are working on it, and you are getting there fairly rapidly. You've made some gains along the line, I think, haven't you? And you've got a bit further to go, but I think you can conclude that someday, possibly, if you work hard and don't have too much bad luck, there is some slight inkling, if you don't look at it directly and phrase it so as to as is it, that you might make some part of it. Is that right? Okay, thank you.